السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ومنهم من يقول ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين
پہلی آئے جو میں نے تلاوت کی ہے اس کا ترجمہ ہے کہ انہی میں سے وہ بھی ہے.
The translation of the first verse that I recited is, and of them there are some who say, Our Lord, grant us good in this world as well as good in the world to come, and protect us from the torment of the fire. The second verse I recited, the translation of it is, Allah burdens not any soul beyond its capacity. It shall have the reward it earns, and it shall get the punishment it incurs. Our Lord, do not punish us if we forget or fall into error. And our Lord, lay not unto us a responsibility as thou didst lay upon those before us. Our Lord, burden us not with what we have not the strength to bear. and efface our sins, and grant us forgiveness, and have mercy upon us. Thou art our Master, so help us Thou against the disbelieving people. Both of these are prayers from the Holy Quran, upon which I shall say some things. However, before that, I shall expound on the philosophy and the essence of prayer, and I shall read out an extract of the Holy Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on whom be peace. The Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, "He who supplicates to God at the time of difficulty and distress, and seeks the resolution of his difficulties from Him, achieves satisfaction and true prosperity from God Almighty, with the condition that he carries his supplication to its limit." Even if he does not achieve the purpose of his supplication, he is bestowed some other kind of satisfaction and contentment by God Almighty. But in any case, he does not experience frustration. In addition, his faith is strengthened and his certainty increases. But the one who in his application does not turn towards God Almighty remains blind all the time, and he dies blind. He says that this exposition is sufficient for those foolish persons who, because of their erroneous assumptions, in other words, those who hold wrong thoughts, because of only looking at things superficially, they criticize that there are numerous such people who seem that despite the fact that they appear to be devoted and completely effaced in their prayer, that their state is such. And this is also what they say, that they are praying in this manner, and this is that state of prayer they are effaced in. Yet, they criticize that they fail in achieving their aims, and they die in the state of failure. In other words, they do not achieve those aims which they desire to aim. Yet, on the other hand, there is another person who neither believes in prayer nor in God. Yet he is triumphant over the other. In other words, he achieves and obtains everything, and he achieves great successes. So thus, as I have just indicated, the true meaning of prayer is the tranquility, satisfaction, and true prosperity to be gained. A person who sees things superficially assumes that a person who is praying for something does not acquire that. But the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "But the person who prays in the true sense, the first condition placed is that it should reach the highest standards and levels. One who prays in this true manner, he does not look at only superficial or apparent things. A person who has the understanding of a mu'min, a true believer, who comprehends what the bond with Allah the Almighty means, does not only consider that have I received what I have supplicated for. But what the Promised Messiah says is that when he prays, he obtains tranquility and inner satisfaction. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, it is absolutely not correct that this true prosperity can only be obtained in that thing for which we have prayed for. In fact, it is Allah the Almighty who knows what our true prosperity lies in. After that perfect prayer, He then rewards us and blesses us. That is, if the prayer is complete, if the prayer is correct, if the prayer is proper and in accordance with the way Allah the Almighty has taught us, then Allah the Almighty, who understands where the true happiness of a person lies, He provides for that person, He answers the prayers of that person in accordance with what is best for him. The Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, "He who supplicates with the sincerity of his soul is never truly frustrated. That prosperity which cannot be achieved through just riches and authority and health, but which is in the hand of God, and He bestows it in whatever shape He wills, is bestowed through perfect prayer. If God Almighty so wills, a sincere and righteous person, in the midst of the distress, achieves such delight after supplication which an emperor cannot enjoy on the imperial throne. Thus, this is the essence of prayer. Thus this is what true success is, which is bestowed in the end on those who pray. Thus the supplicant, the delight and satisfaction he acquires, he can obtain it at a time of difficulty. And the Promised Messiah says he can obtain such delight and satisfaction which even a king or emperor cannot obtain. So this is the essence of prayer, and this is the summary of the philosophy of prayer. This is the spirit of prayer, and this is the way of thinking of a true mu'min, a true believer, and this is how he should think. We must keep this philosophy of prayer at all times before us. As the Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, for the acceptance of prayer, you must elevate the standard of your prayer to the loftiest levels. When you reach that elevated level, either your prayer is accepted, the prayer which you have asked from Allah the Almighty, and the signs of the manifestation of the acceptance of that prayer begin to appear. Or, on the other hand, you receive such satisfaction and inner tranquility of the heart that Allah the Almighty alleviates the distress the person was in his heart at the time of supplicating. He receives a special kind of tranquility. And the person believes that whatever Allah the Almighty deems it best for me, He will provide for me. This is the manner of thinking of a true mu'min, a true believer. May Allah the Almighty enable all of us to achieve this standard. And this capability to do this is also obtained from Allah the Almighty. This is why we must pray for this to be conferred upon us. At this present time, I would like to draw attention towards two prayers of the Holy Quran, which are mentioned in these verses. We often read these verses, and most of us are aware of them. One of them is Rabbana atina fid dunya khasanatan wa fil akhirati khasanatan wa qina azab an-nar. That our Lord grant us good in this world as well as good in the world to come. This prayer, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would especially recite. He would often inculcate the Sahaba to do so, and they would also recite this prayer. At one time, the Holy Promised Messiah alaihi salam said to the members of the Jamaat that especially, and in last rakat, the last unit after the ruku, when you stand up, you should pray this prayer. Hazrat Khalifa Masih Sani, the second Khalifa, also especially drew attention towards this prayer. In many of his khutbats, his sermons, he did so, and he inculcated the Jamaat towards this. He also expounded the commentary of this prayer. Thus, this prayer has great significance. This prayer is in essence for every time and every era, but nowadays, when especially there is disorder and chaos prevalent all over the world, we must particularly pray this prayer. Hasana means piety, goodness, and beneficence, which has no bad or harm in it, such a task which from every angle good results emanates, and which is in accordance with the will of God the Almighty. There are Ahmadis in certain countries who, as a result of being Ahmadis, who are in such circumstances where there is a particular need to pray this prayer. The opponents of Jamaat Ahmadiyya desire that Ahmadis should be deprived of every type of blessing, to the extent that they should be even deprived of the right to live. In such a predicament, to pray that our Lord take care of us in front of all these schemes of all these worldly people who want to deprive us of all our blessings and rewards. Because of your blessings, may we be those who achieve or attain your rewards or blessings. May our actions in this world, as a result of acquiring your pleasure, be that which gives us the rewards in the hereafter. And every act we perform in this world, may it be such an act which incurs your pleasure. The opponents want to cause harm to our trade and business, so thus confer upon us hasana on such a path where all the schemes of the detractors come to naught. In order to damage our faith, they try to cause us damage to our provisions. So thus confer upon us hasana on such a path where more than before we are provided provisions which are better, purer and halal. May our neighbors be such who do not inflict harm and suffering upon us. May the people in our entire neighborhood be such who do not inflict upon us harm and suffering. May our cities become hasana for us. May our country become hasana for us. May those who do proceedings against us, may their acts rebound upon them. May our rulers be such who are of merciful heart and act with righteousness and justice. In some countries, in some Muslim countries we see nowadays, it is the rulers, it is the leaders who have become a punishment for the public. May the leaders be those who fulfill the rights of their people. And if in the eyes of Allah the current leadership are not those who are capable of reforming, then bring about such leaders who do possess those required qualities, so thus that the good from the world that we are to receive will be hasana, good. May every benefit be such which acquires your pleasure. Then may our friends be such who desire good for us, who are affectionate towards us, who prove to be a friend in the time of need, and who respond to goodness with goodness. Adil Muslim Ahmad has also explained this in great detail. It may be the case in Pakistan that there is a group of people who follow the Maulvis and try to inflict harm upon the Ahmadis. However, there is also a large proportion of the population of Pakistan who do fulfill the right of friendship. We cannot say that every Pakistani is a bad person. And nor can we say in every country where there is opposition to the Jamaat that all of them are bad people. As I stated, there are people amongst them who do fulfill the right of friendship, who are compassionate and who desire good for others, and who do prove to be of help in times of trouble. Recently, an Ahmadi told me in a letter who had been kidnapped in Pakistan that they demanded a large ransom. It was not possible to immediately organize for that ransom. His brother endeavored to raise the funds. They could not fulfill that amount for them, and they knew that there was no point of going to the government. So they said, provide us with a certain amount and the rest give us as a guarantee. And the guarantee could not be from an Ahmadi either. So then a non-Ahmadi friend provided the money as a guarantee. And in this way, he was able to be set free. So now that non-Ahmadi friend put his life on the line. Because now those kidnappers will want to get the money from him. So thus, there are such people who for the sake of Ahmadis do make sacrifices. Despite living in such a surrounding and atmosphere which has been formed over there, they perform virtues and they fulfill the right of friendship. They are against the terrorists and the Maulvis. This is also a hasana amongst the hasana of the world, that is a good from amongst the good of the world to acquire good friends. In the same way, I was seeing a report from one of our missions. A new radio station has been established by us. As a result of this, our tabligh, our preaching, has reached a very vast scale. Hearing this, the non-Ahmadis who take help from the Arab countries in order to prove hindrance in the progress of the preaching of Ahmadiyyat, and so that they can make the maximum worldly efforts to cause harm upon us. So thus, Maulvis, they threatened our missionaries and they go on doing so. They phone and say, we will threat you with these attacks, etc., etc. They also raise propaganda that do not listen to these Ahmadis because they are kafirs, infidels. Some reach extreme levels. So such a circumstance arose there which reached its extreme. The opposition had heightened to levels beyond bounds. There were some sober, well-mannered and good people, but when they found out about this, they sent a message to our Muballigh that do not worry at all, keep on with your work, because what you are spreading is the true Islam. No one will be able to stop you. So thus, Allah the Almighty does provide good friends everywhere, although they may not be Ahmadis, but in the spreading of the message of Ahmadiyya, they are also playing their role. As I stated, this is also a hasana, a good. So thus, however much vastness and scope you give to the hasana, to the good, it will go on increasing and widening to that same extent. To encompass all aspects of this worldly life from Allah the Almighty, the extent to which you go on asking for blessings and of the good amongst it, they will keep on being counted amongst the hasana. In your personal life, there is a good wife, there is a good husband, there are good children, there is living a life free from illnesses. In short, everything which in the sight of Allah the Almighty is good and beneficial to us is counted amongst the hasana, the good of the world. And this is the desire and will of a believer, that Allah the Almighty should grant him all that which he requires. It should be good in every respect. It should be good both from the outside and the inside, because it is only Allah the Almighty who knows knowledge of both the seen and the unseen. Thus, he can best decide from both an external and internal perspective what is best for us. We can make an error in choosing and selecting or making a decision, but Allah the Almighty can never make a mistake. We may apparently consider a person a good friend, but that same friend could inflict harm and suffering upon us. Such circumstances do come to the fore where a person greatly trusted a friend. He was made a partner in business, but that same partner then caused him great harm. We make a certain person a leader or a ruler, but that same person becomes a cause of harm and suffering. Apart from Jamaat concerns and worries, we see in everyday issues that certain people perform certain acts or do certain things which become a means of worry and concern. Thus, to pray in the proper sense, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً, which Allah the Almighty then accepts. Through it, a person can be saved from both personal and Jamaat concerns and worries. Not only will he be saved, but he will also become the recipient of the rewards and blessings of Allah. He can become the recipient of the rewards of Allah. Then it says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. The verse says that as well as good in the world to come. That is, also give us whatever is good internally and externally in the hereafter. Hadhrat Muslih Maud has explained this in one place, that people assume there is only good in the hereafter, that if Allah Almighty accepts it, there is only hasana. So what does it mean, the good in the inside and outside of the hereafter? Hadhrat Muslih Maud explains that although everything in the hereafter is good, apparently, however, also in the hereafter there are certain things which are good on the inside but are apparently bad. For example, there is hell. From the Holy Quran, we learn that hell is a means of reformation for a person. So in one sense, it is a bad thing. So thus, when the word hasana has been used for the hereafter by Allah the Almighty, it is thus for the reason that you prayed, O Lord, let our reformation not occur through hell, but rather through your blessings and grace. And do not give us in the hereafter that which is only good on the inside. That is, just like hell is good on the inside, because through it a person gains closeness to Allah. But it is apparently bad because it is a great punishment. The hasana in the hereafter is a paradise. It is good on the outside and inside. Here we should also remember that the good of this world also becomes a means of acquiring good in the hereafter. If everything in this world which is good on the outside and inside, and which becomes a means of acquiring the pleasure of Allah, then that will lead to someone receiving something in the hereafter which is good on the inside and outside. In one place, the Holy Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, a person to acquire inner tranquility and prosperity needs two things: that from this short life and all the difficulties, hardships, tribulations, etc. which he faces, that he should remain in peace and safe from them. Secondly, it is being saved from evil, immorality, vices, and spiritual ailments which keep him away from Allah, but he should attain salvation from it. The hasana of the world is that spiritually and physically he should remain saved from every vice, filthy life, and humiliation. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ زَعِيفًا. In other words, man has been created weak. Then he says that even if a person hurts his nail, life becomes tiresome. In this way, when a person's life becomes corrupted, such as prostitutes, how full of wrongdoing is their life? Their life is like a life of animals. They are completely oblivious of Allah and the hereafter. Hasana of the world is that Allah the Almighty, of every aspect, whether it is of the world or the hereafter, he should save us from all evils. And in fil akhirah the hasana, the aspect of akhirah, that is also a fruit of the world, this life. If a person attains the hasana of this world, then those virtuous acts are for the hereafter. It is wrong when people say, what is the point of asking for the hasana of this world? Only ask for the hasana of the hereafter. Having good health, etc., are such things which grant comfort and ease to a person, and as a result of that, he is able to work towards acquiring good to the hereafter. This is why we call the world the field of the hereafter. That is, whatever you sow here, you will reap in the hereafter. And in reality, he who Allah in this life gives health, respect, progeny and peace, when such a person performs excellent virtuous deeds, then there is hope that his hereafter will also be good. And in the end of this verse, Allah the Almighty says, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and protect us from the torment of the fire. Here in Nar, the fire does not only relate to the fire of the hereafter, but it also means to be saved from such fire, which is the fire of this life. There is also the punishment of fire in this world. Thus, in this prayer, we have been taught to pray to be saved from the nar, the fire of both this world and the hereafter. The azab al-nar of this world, the torment of the fire of this world, relates to tribulations, difficulties and sufferings you face in this life, which Allah the Almighty, if He so desires, instead of a punishment, can become a means of blessing and reward. One example of azab al-nar in this life, the torment of the fire, is the circumstances prevalent in certain countries. You never know whether you are at home or you are in the market where the bullet may hit you from, or destroy a person's life, or take a person's life. There are many lives which are wasted in exactly this manner. So thus, when a person prays azab al-nar, to be protected from the torment of the fire, and where such acts are performed or such circumstances are prevalent, or a person is leading such a life, Allah the Almighty thus accepts his prayer and saves him from this. The evil of the terrorists nowadays, this is also a prayer to be saved from them. Recently, one of our Ahmadis in Karachi, he was a healthy man of about 40-45 years old. He left his home to get some groceries. After just a few minutes, there was the bomb explosion, which you have heard of in the last days, where 50 lives went to waste. In that, he also was martyred. So thus, nowadays, all over the world, there are places where terrorists have lit this fire. To be saved from that punishment, we need to pray to Allah the Almighty profusely. It is in the knowledge of Allah the Almighty, where, at what time, and how an event will occur. So thus we should supplicate to Allah that my staying at home and my going outside, through your grace, should become a means of hasana, good for me, and save me from these punishments. Also save me from the fire of the hereafter. I shall read another extract of the Holy Promised Messiah. He says, a person is in need of prayer for whom all paths are closed. There is no other path, and from his heart this prayer emanates. As who says, in two sermons ago, I explained this briefly with relation to Hadrat Muslim. So here the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, a person is in need of prayer whose all paths are closed. He has no other path except one, and he prays from his heart. Rabbana atina fi dunya is such a prayer, is a prayer of only such people who only know Allah as their Lord. They have firm belief that before their Lord, all other false notions are useless. The fire does not only relate to the fire of the Day of Judgment. It also relates to a person who lives a long life in this world. He sees that there are thousands of types of fire in the world. People who have experienced it know that there are many types of fire in the world. There is fear, there is bloodshed, poverty and hunger, illnesses, failures, humiliation. There are thousands of types of sufferings, for example, relation to your children, your wife. Then there is agitation with issues regarding relatives. In short, all of these are types of fires. Thus a believer prays that, save us from all types of fires, as we have grabbed your mantle. Thus, from all these different ways, which ruin a person's life, and which are a fire for a person, may Allah the Almighty save him from it. The second prayer which has great significance and which we need is in the last verse of Surah Baqarah, which I have already recited. In it, Allah the Almighty has drawn our attention that pray, Rabbana la tu'akhizna in nasina aw akhtana, that O our Lord, do not punish us if we forget or fall into error. To forget means that there is an important task which has to be done. One is to forget it by mistake. The other is we did not even realize that if we do not do this task on time, how much importance that task had. And we remain in this misconception that no matter if we do not perform that task, it is just a small and ordinary job, so there is no problem. So this is why we have asked this prayer that save us from punishment if we forget. But sometimes it also happens that there is an important work. A person does not know what is important or not. But by not performing that task, it can cause us harm in our spiritual progress, and it can cause us harm in our connection with Allah. So thus, our Lord, first of all, do not punish us from forgetting such things, and if we do forget, do not cause us punishment. Secondly, by performing a task in the wrong manner, or by performing a task we should not perform, we pray that may Allah the Almighty not cause us, hold us to account, or bring punishment upon us. But in fact, we pray here that forgive our errors, and also save us from the bad effects of that mistake, and also from your anger. However, if purposefully we go on carrying out a wrong act, or if we purposefully go on treading on a wrong path and do not endeavor to reform, and yet we pray this prayer, then this would not be really a prayer. This would actually just be a joke with Allah and with this prayer. Thus, prayers are to bring about better results. It is not to give Allah a test. So thus, it's only when you act accordingly with your prayers where your prayers will become true prayers. Also, as the promised Messiah has said, take those prayers to the highest levels. Then it says, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا, that, O Allah, lay not on us a responsibility as thou didst lay upon us before us. Here, remember that in the command to offer the prayer and in relation to the injunctions of the commands of the Holy Quran, it has not been said that these are extraordinary burdens. Allah the Almighty has already in this same verse stated previously, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that Allah burdens not any soul beyond its capacity. He gives tasks and responsibilities to man according to his capacity. Here, this prayer which says, do not lay upon us such a responsibility, it means that people in the past were given punishments. May not those punishments to the nations of the past be given to us. May we not make the same mistakes that the people of the past made through which they were destroyed. If we go on making mistakes, and then say that lay not upon us the responsibility of the people of the past, then this cannot be so. This is against the general law of Allah. So thus, it is this prayer, along with actual practical actions to not perform those bad acts, that saves a person from these punishments. In the past, such leaders were conferred upon the people who did not take care of the rights of the people. So, save us, O Allah, from such leaders who have become a punishment for us. And as a result of your anger, your punishment hovers over us. If this is the case, we have a need to pray with great agony. If this is a trial and tribulation, then may Allah the Almighty alleviate the burden of this trial. Then the prayer has been taught. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Sometimes the punishment of other people has an effect upon another person. In some way or the other, it has an impact upon others. Thus, we have been taught the prayer to be safe from this. May we be saved from the culpabilities of others in wars, in quarrels, in the attacks of terrorists. Those who are not targeted or attempted to be killed are also killed. As I stated, they desire to kill a particular group, but other people were there, including young innocent children, who are also caught up in there and killed. Other Muslim said that the condition of Ma'la Taqadla Nabi has been placed, that here it is not the issue of anger. In fact, it mentions worldly difficulties and tribulations. Even light anger of Allah the Almighty cannot be burdened by a person, but he can burden small suffering. Thus, spiritually, it is this prayer that we do not have the capacity to bear any anger of Allah. But when the worldly difficulty and pain is mentioned, I do not have any objection to small trials and tribulations. I do not always say, tread on a rosy path. Because Allah the Almighty has said that I will test and put a person on trial. But that trial, that can become a means of your anger. And that trial, which is not the means of your anger, and that come often into the world. With regards to them, it is my prayer that let it not happen, that those trials and tribulations should be beyond my capacity and strength. A believer does not desire trials. But as I stated, Allah the Almighty has said that I put the believers on trial. So thus we have been taught a prayer to make these trials easier to bear. And then it says that pray wa'fu anna, that forgive me of my sins and save me of the bad results of it. Waghfir lana, and grant us forgiveness of those bad acts that I have performed and from its bad effects. Overlook and cover my wrong acts. And may it become such as if I have never even performed that bad act. Af means mercy, and it means something which is left from a person that can be recompensed, that it can be then provided. So therefore, in wa'fu anna, what has been stated is whatever has been left, whichever is not fulfilled by a person, from a person has not performed in terms of his actions and his deeds. Through Allah's blessings and through His mercy, may Allah the Almighty fulfill that. Then there is warhamna, that all my mistakes which are a means of hindrance in my progress, or which can be a means of hindrance in the progress of the Jamaat, with regards to those errors, have mercy upon me, and remove all hindrances in the means of my progress. Then anta maulana, that you are our Mawla, you are our Lord, you are our God. People will attribute our weaknesses towards you. Today there is only one Jamaat in the world which claims it is a Jamaat, a community. When one person performs an error or mistake, sometimes it has a collective effect upon the entire community. So thus, we say here that people will attribute mistakes to you. It means that this is a Jamaat which claims to be a divine Jamaat. It is being inflicted with harm. So thus, O Lord, you are our God, we are your servants, have mercy upon us. Our weaknesses will be attributed towards you. People will assume that we are just making claims and that they have no connection with God the Almighty. And thus the work of tabligh and guiding people we are carrying out will be hindered, and people will be deprived of the guidance. So therefore we also beg for mercy. We acknowledge and confess our errors and sins, and we are in desperate need of your forgiveness. فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So thus, help us and give us triumph over the disbelieving people. Those people who are carrying out such acts, which are becoming a means in the progress of Islam, may enable us to be triumphant over them. And may we be those who spread your name and your message all over the world. Nowadays, it is not just non-Muslims. It is not only those who do not believe in God who criticize Islam. Even amongst the Muslims, there is a section who are becoming a means of hindrance in the progress of the message of Islam. In fact, there are more amongst the Muslims who are defaming the name of Islam. They are becoming an obstacle for our preaching in the non-Muslim world. The extremists who, in the name of Islam, have formed certain organizations. This extreme Islam which they present, this has an impact upon our tabligh, our preaching. So thus, with a special agony and hardship, pray to Allah the Almighty in this respect. Then there is the Promised Messiah alayhi salam's prayer, which you receive by revelation. رَبِّ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ خَادُمُكَ رَبِّ فَأْفَزْنِي وَانْصُرْنِي وَرْحَمْنِي. That, O Allah, keep us in your protection. Help us and have mercy upon us. Keep on providing and rewarding us from the hasana, the good of the world. Nowadays, there is a great need to perform this prayer. My attention has also been drawn towards this prayer. There is a great need to pray this prayer. May Allah the Almighty save every Ahmadi from all evil and bad. May Allah the Almighty grant us from the hasana of the good this world and the hereafter. May He overlook our faults and efface our sins and save us from it constantly in the future. I say especially to the Pakistani Ahmadis in Pakistan that self-analyze and assess yourselves and give attention to these prayers. Give special time in your prayers towards these prayers. And may every Ahmadi establish that spirit in themselves of their prayers, which elevates the standard of their prayers to the loftiest levels. May Allah the Almighty enable us to achieve this. As I stated, that one Ahmadi was martyred in the recent bomb blast in Karachi. In the same way, there is another death which has taken place in Pakistan, who was a long-serving servant of the Jamaat. Both of their funeral prayers and abstention I will lead after the Friday prayers. I shall present their brief details. The one who was martyred, his name was Mukarram Mubashir Ahmad Abbasi Sahib, son of Nader Ahmad Abbasi Sahib. On 3rd March 2013, he was martyred. Bashir Ahmad Abbasi Sahib, his paternal great-grandfather, Tawangur Ali Abbasi Sahib, it was through him that Ahmadiyyat entered into his family. He took the bayt at the hands of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. His family are from Alipur, Kheda, UP, India. His uncle, Muhammad Sadiq Arif Sahib, and Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Gujarati were Dervish of Qadian. His paternal grandfather was in the Indian police. After retirement, he dedicated his life and then he worked as Inspector Baitul Mal in Qadian. Mubashir Ahmad Abbasi Sahib, the martyr, was born in 1968 in Gujarawala. He was 45 years old. In 1982, he went to Karachi for work purposes. At the time of his martyrdom, he was working in the Karachi retirement factory. On the evening of 3rd March 2013, at the time of Maghrib, in Abbas town, Karachi, there was a bomb blast, as a result of which more than 50 people lost their lives and many more were injured. He lived in the same area of Abbas town. 5 minutes before this incident, he had come out of his home to purchase some goods and he came into the bomb blast zone. He was very near to that bomb blast and he died on the spot. At the time, they could not identify him. Later, he was identified. He was a very friendly and social person. He had great love and friendship with his wife, children, and friends. Apart from his wife, he leaves behind one daughter, Khadija Mubashir, who is 12 years old, and one son, Nader Bakhsh, who is 10 years old. And there are three brothers and sisters apart from them. The second funeral is of a long-serving servant of the Jamaat, Mukarram Dr. Sultan Mahmood Shahid Sahib. He passed away on 3rd March 2013 at the age of 90. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was born on 16 October 1923. His father, Hazrat Sayyid Sadar Ahmad Shah Sahib, was a Sahabi, a companion of the promised Messiah. He had dedicated his life before his birth. After completing his BSc from Islamia College Lahore in 1946 from the Muslim University Aligarh, he passed his MSc in chemistry. Immediately after, he presented himself before Hadhrat Muslih Maud, the second Khalifa. Hadhrat Muslih Maud appointed him as a chemistry lecturer in Talim al Islamil College Qadian. He had the honor that he was amongst the founding teachers of the college. After migration, he went to Lahore, then he went to the TI College in Rabwa after the migration, where he carried out work as a teacher. In 1956, he came to London. In 1958, from the University of London, he did a PhD in organic chemistry. On his return to Rabwa, until 1963, he taught chemistry. In 1963, again, he returned to London. and in 1964 from the London University, he did a postdoctorate. Royal Institute of Chemical Society he became a fellow of. In the same way, from 1964 to 1978, he was a professor and the head of chemistry department of Talimul Islam College, Rabwa, and he also worked for a short period of time as a principal. In 1972, when the college and the educational institutions were forcibly taken by the government in Pakistan, he then was transferred to the government college, Rawalpindi. Then he served as principal of two other colleges. In 1986, he retired. After this, seeing the circumstances of the educational institutions in Rabwa, he opened schools, primary and high schools. And for a long period of time, until the schools were established by the Jamaat there, his schools performed great work and also took care of the kids. Dr. Sahib was a very simple person who had great compassion for others. He would always provide help to those in need. He would help those who could not acquire education by providing them education. He would always come before people with great love and affection. Jamia Nusrat College, the ladies' block of science, he inaugurated during the time of the Khalifah Masih III. He instructed and then Shah Sahib performed this. After the creation of Pakistan, he was appointed as the Secretary Islah Rashad Lahore. From 56 to 58, he also was the London Khudam Al-Ahmadiyya Qaid. Similarly, he worked as Secretary Mal of Jamaat London. The great and deep connection with Khilafat, he leaves behind two daughters and two sons. His manner of teaching was also very simple. I also had been taught by him for a short period of time. He would make his students his friends. He had great simplicity. Somebody has written, Mujib Askar Sahib, that once they were giving duties in the Langar Khana in Pakistan. He came, the deceased, to get some bread. So he started giving to him and he said, wait, let me give you some cloth to put the hot bread in. He said, I have not brought any hot bread. So deceased then put forward his shirt and put the hot bread in there, the hot naan, and he did not have any ego or any kind of reservation that how he had was taking it away, because he was thinking that I am going to feed the guests of the promised Messiah. He was a very simple person. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank, and may Allah the Almighty also elevate the rank of the martyred. May Allah the Almighty grant solace and endurance to the children who have been left behind.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ